The Softies on Twitter were on one again last night. We're going to get into that in just one second. I wanted to take a moment this morning to briefly talk about John Madden. If you're under the age of 25, I really do feel bad for you because you missed out on the greatest commentary duo across all of sports, all generations, John Madden and Pat Summerall. Before I even heard the news last night, one of my friends texted me, and he said the voice of our childhood just passed away. He didn't even have to tell me who he was talking about. I already knew he was talking about John Madden. When you heard the voices of Pat Summerall and John Madden at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, it was automatic. You knew you were watching the biggest NFL game of the week. They possessed the unique ability, and very few commentary teams have this, but they possessed this unique ability to make the game they were calling feel like the most important game that you ever watched. It could be week one of the regular season. If Madden and Summerall were calling the game, you knew it was important. Fox, CBS, the NFL, NBC, they had never been able to replicate, they've never been able to replace Pat Summerall and John Madden. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they're good. They're not Summerall and Madden. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on CBS, they're great. They're not Summerall and Madden. Tony Romo, I will say, Tony Romo has a chance, though. He has a chance to be just as great as John Madden was. Romo is a natural in the booth. He does the same thing that John Madden did. Both will tell you what is going to happen before the play even begins. Those of you who are close to my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about with John Madden. He has this nostalgic effect on us because we grew up watching him. Commentators, they often catch a lot of shit, especially today on social media. It seems like every week, Chris Collinsworth is getting destroyed on Twitter for something he said on Sunday Night Football. Another commentator who is getting criticized by the virgins on Twitter right now is Bob Fitzgerald. Bob Fitzgerald has been the voice of the Golden State Warriors since 1997. He calls every game for the Warriors on NBC Sports in the Bay Area. Now, these are regional broadcasts. They are not broadcast nationally. Here's the thing you have to understand about a regional commentary team in the NBA. There is a big difference between a national broadcast team and a regional broadcast team. And not just in scope. I'm not talking about the area of coverage. I'm talking about the approach to calling the game. National broadcasters like Mike Breen, Marv Albert, guys that call national NBA games, they have to take an objective approach. They don't show favoritism to one team over the other. Regional broadcasters are paid to favor their team. When I'm watching the Pelicans, for example, I expect Joel Myers and Antonio Daniels to be biased towards the Pelicans. Marv Albert, he may call 10, 15 Warriors games per season on TNT. Bob Fitzgerald calls all 82. Bob Fitzgerald is paid to be biased towards the Warriors. I bring all that up because it is important to understand the context here. In his role, Bob Fitzgerald is supposed to blindly defend Steph Curry, and he's supposed to take little shots at the opposing team. I know it's hard for unemployed social justice warriors to understand this, but it's called a job. I know that concept is really tough for SJWs to grasp. I'll break it down for them again. A job is where an organization pays you to perform a task. In the case of Bob Fitzgerald, his task is to make the Warriors look good to the audience in the Bay Area. He is not paid to be objective. He is paid to be biased. I'll give you an example. Last night, Nuggets guard Facundo Campazzo went for a layup. He misses, goes for the rebound. He gets tied up with Andre Iguodala. The refs call an obvious foul on Campazzo. He starts bitching to the officials about it. In this situation, the job of the Warriors commentary team is to defend Andre Iguodala and take shots at Campazzo. It doesn't have to be malicious. I'm not saying they should insult him, attack him personally, but it's their duty to be on the side of Andre Iguodala. Now watch this clip. And I want you to guess what upset woke Twitter in this exchange.
See, this is how you lose your credibility. He could not believe they called that on him. That was clearly a foul.
Well, what's
he instigated
the,
it? He got up under Andre.
What's the main sport in Argentina?
Soccer. That's what I was thinking. He looked like a soccer player there. How could you call this? I was wronged.
Do you know what upset woke Twitter? If you've been following the channel a while, then you already know. It was the accent, the mocking accent. How dare they imitate an Argentinian accent? It's racist! They are making fun of him because he's from Argentina. No, they're making fun of him because he is bitching at the officials after he was called for a clear foul. Since when has imitating an accent been considered racist? Stand-up comedians have been using accents for decades. Are they all prejudiced? The British accent is imitated more than any other. I never hear social justice warriors complain about that. Of course, that doesn't fit their narrative. In most instances, when someone mimics a British accent, they're making fun of white people, and that's okay. What about the redneck accent? People make fun of rednecks all the time. Is that discrimination? Come on, guys. You have to know the rules. It's perfectly fine to make fun of white people. You can call white women Karen all you want. I don't mind calling white women Karen. Most of the time, it's justified. My problem comes in when they want to cancel a white person, in most cases a white man, for making fun of someone in a protected class. Comedians on woke Saturday Night Live, they can make fun of minorities. If Larry the Cable Guy does the same thing, he will be canceled. It wasn't just the mocking of Campazzo, though, that had woke Twitter in tears last night. You could have filled an ocean with beta male tears when Bob Fitzgerald gave his opinion of Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers, of course, is the son of Doc Rivers. He's a career role player in the NBA. His career's been on the decline the last few years. He barely played for the Knicks last season. Back in March, they traded him to Oklahoma City, where he was released 72 hours later. He was doing a lot of ass-sitting on the couch when the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray for the season right before the playoffs. So they call up Austin Rivers, ask him, you know, if he can take a break from painting landscapes in the backyard and help them through the playoffs. Austin Rivers jumps at the opportunity. He's been in Denver ever since. Now, I'm going to play this clip of what Bob Fitzgerald said about Austin Rivers last night. And I want to stress the fact. Nothing said in this clip is inaccurate. But as you guys know, social justice warriors, they don't care about facts. They only care about feelings. They only care about narratives.
I got a big contract extension when, oh, wait, his dad was the coach. It seemed to work out all right.
You saying there's some nepotism?
I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to give the money, might as well give it to your kid.
Makes sense.
What was so bad about that? They accused Doc Rivers of nepotism. They obviously don't like Austin Rivers. This has nothing to do with liking someone. Hell, Bob Fitzgerald probably doesn't even know Austin Rivers. He was actually making a good point, a fair point. If you remove his two contracts with the Clippers, Austin Rivers' average NBA salary is $2.2 million a year. His first contract with the Clippers, his dad is the coach and just so happens to be the vice president of basketball operations, meaning Doc Rivers was responsible for player contracts. Austin Rivers, his first contract in LA, gets a 30% raise, making an extra $1 million every year. Now that alone, really not a big deal. It's his next contract that Bob Fitzgerald's talking about. Austin Rivers goes from $3 million a year to damn near $12 million. $12 million to a bench player averaging less than 20 minutes a game. Now, just to put that number in perspective, when Doc Rivers brought in Lou Williams in 2017, one of the best six men in the NBA, three-time sixth man of the year, when Doc Rivers signed Lou Williams in 2017, he gave him $8 million. Now, look. I'm not blaming Doc Rivers for making sure his son's taken care of. Most fathers in his situation would have done the exact same thing. Bob Fitzgerald was not blaming Doc Rivers. He even said, if you're going to give out the money, you might as well give it to your kid. But let's be real here. Let's call this what it is. It's nepotism. It doesn't make it wrong. Nepotism happens in the workplace every day. But just because Bob Fitzgerald called it out, it doesn't mean he's hating on Austin Rivers. It doesn't mean he's disrespecting opponents. He's just calling it what it is, nepotism. These people on Twitter are delusional. I swear to God, their only purpose in life is searching for something to offend them. I don't know how they wake up every morning. I really don't. It has got to be a miserable existence, waking up every day, and your only purpose is to find something borderline offensive and pretend to be outraged about it. Multiple studies have shown that increased use of social media affects the chemistry in your brain. Social media is not real. It's not real life. So the more time you spend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, the more likely you are to lose your sense of reality. If you look at how these people conduct themselves on Twitter, it's hard to refute that point. All right, let me know what you guys think. Give me your thoughts on the social justice warriors losing it again on Twitter over something that is completely harmless. Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.